repair and replacement. They have St. Louis covered and comfortable. Contact them today to learn about cost-saving rebates at scottleeheating.com. Scott Lee Heating Company, where satisfied customers are their most important asset.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the morning after, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net. Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
Our homes are where we feel the most happy, safe, and secure. So when we see signs of foundation problems, like cracks and uneven floors, we want to make sure it's fixed forever. At Woods Basement Systems, we understand. We've been eliminating foundation worries since 1986. Call Woods at 800-388-9326 for a free estimate. That's 800-388-9326 and stop worrying. Foundation problems don't get better with time. They get better with us, the All Things Basement-y experts. Go online to woodsbasementsystems.com today. That's woodsbasementsystems.com.
Hey, St. Louis, since you can't go to Busch Stadium, let Schnucks bring the stadium to you. Two lucky Schnucks Rewards members will win a very unique Cardinals experience. Schnucks will bring a giant TV, ballpark food, Anheuser-Busch beer, and several other surprises from the stadium to your backyard for a Cardinals watch party. There will even be special appearances from former Cardinal players. All you have to do is download the Schnucks Rewards app and enter to win. So download Schnucks Rewards and have Schnucks bring Busch Stadium to your backyard.
This is Diana with Neustetter's Fine Jewelry. This year we're celebrating 50 years in business. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives for over half a century. It's because of you that our small family business thrives in St. Louis. From our family to yours, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Today I'm very proud of myself.
Crossed over. If I ever have a.
Is that a Big Ten reference?
I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
I think it is.
Gold dust at my feet.
What side of the street?
On the sunny side.
Thank you.
Of the street.
Timing is everything. I just came from the dentist, Dallas Dental Care. I would say that in the 47 years and 4 months, what they did today probably is as extensive work as I've ever had done. It was 2 hours. They had to dig deep and grind and drill, and they had to deaden like half my head. And the feeling just came completely back.
Uh-oh.
1 minute ago.
Whoa.
Just in time to talk, to do this.
Is it painful?
No, but they did say because of all they had to do, they said tonight you might have, your gums might be pretty sore. But every time they told me that, it never happened.
Right.
I think they just in case.
Is it at that weird stage now where it's wearing off and you're just kind of getting that pins and needles?
I'm past that.
Oh,
I
past
had that a while
that.
Ago. No. I think it's about 90% back now. But welcome, everybody, to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on this, the 16th of September. And when I realized today what the date was, immediately I knew the significance. This is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Hey, when's the time change thing? When you set the clock.
Isn't it
October?
No, it's in November now. I think it's like the first weekend in November.
It's November 1st.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. There we go.
Almost October, but missed it by a day. I dread that. I don't even like it now.
Time change.
Yes, it was dark now already, like, what, 7:30 or something? So we walk out of here at 6, and 6 has already been dark for an hour.
You said 6 is 6.
Well, I just went to the dentist. It's just a little bit of lag.
You also said sweepy, dusty Delta day.
Well, that's before it completely. That's before the Novocaine had completely worn off.
I didn't want to say anything, but once Dan got it going,
I thought I'd pile on. I've been to the dentist,
right?
And Limey, you had a lot of work done. Did they give you the nitrous?
Oh yeah, I had the breathing nitrous.
Oh,
I think
that's some good stuff.
It is, man. You are relaxed.
I've never had that.
Oh, it's great. You love it.
It really.
Well, I'd love to see because you laugh all the time anyway. That's the stuff they call laughing gas. If they gave that to you, step back. I'd love to see you on that. I think I told this story many years ago, the first time they ever offered me that,
right?
I didn't know if I could tell if it was doing anything. So when he steps out of the room, I got out of the chair and I walk over and I turned it from like 5 all the way up to 10. I was so nauseated and sick from that.
Yeah.
And I started acting really weird, and he couldn't figure out. And he looked over at the thing. He said, "Did you turn?" And I said, "Yeah." Oh, man, did I get a lecture. Don't ever touch this stuff. He said, I can't believe you did that. Then I had, there was like a coming down period.
Yeah, you gotta let
it
out.
I was nauseated. Yeah, don't get out of your chair and turn up the nitrous. But they knew exactly where to put it today, just to, you know, like you said, relax. Now, I never had it make me laugh at anything, like giddy. Some people, it makes them giddy. That's why they call it laughing gas.
Got like a warm, fuzzy feeling, but that's about it.
On his deathbed in San Fe, New Mexico, with his four children standing around his bed, my dad had the morphine drip.
Ooh,
trigger in his hand.
That's got to be good.
And here's a man that knows he's dying of lung and eventually brain cancer. And, you know, the nurses would walk by, and we'd be just like sitting there talking to him, and he was lucid and coherent, you know. And he would just, every couple minutes, he'd just go, and he'd just get this big smile on his face. You know? And then he'd look out the window, and he goes, "Look at that nurse's ass. Yeah. I want that one." Ask her, she'll just stand there for a while. You know,
somebody's dying of cancer. Right. Let them have all of it they want.
They just let them go. Here it is, Mr. Woodburn. You just hit away.
Well, the Burke segment goes like this. Does anybody have anything? Oh, before we do the Burke segment, I'm going to ask a favor of you folks, the listeners. When Dr. Doug is in next hour, after we check in with John Londo, would you please, anybody with a pet, just all of you call so that I don't have to talk a lot? Because I bit my tongue while it was numb.
You did?
Yeah, well, you don't know you're doing it. Oh, man. And I mean the whole right side of it. I clamped down hard on it. So, yeah, please call when Dr. Doug is here and do all the talking so I don't have to. Does anybody have anything to say?
I got a few.
Well, this is a man who said goodbye to his home this morning. It's been his last night. Yeah, how long have you lived there?
11 years.
11 years. Wow. Said last night was the last night. Mm-hmm. It actually was the last night. He slept in his home. And here was something for the Burke segment. Tim Woodbury, you're welcome.
There is a dog revenge story on my palette today I'd like to share with you.
A dog revenge story.
I told a story about my dog Scrappy choking on the bone. I had to rush him to the vet
week. You know what my son's dog's name is? Scraps.
Yeah.
Scraps.
Buddy and Scrappy. So Scrappy, I had to rush to the vet, and I thought I watched him die on the back deck of my house last week.
He choked, right?
He choked on a bone, and he was not breathing, and his face was turning blue, and his gummed pink, and he coughed the whole thing up inside the vet's office after the nurse.
Girlfriend of mine years ago choked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They look about the same from what I hear. So,
where is
it? I got a room shot for that.
Who looked the same? My girlfriend and your dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Same breath for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So last night, my CPAP machine fried. I've been sleeping with a CPAP machine for a long time. I can't sleep. It's very difficult for me to sleep without it, and it just died.
Now, I can't relate to this. Good. My dad had one, and then a lot of people have them. Mm-hmm. William Shatner has one.
It forced the air, and it forces the air, and you know, otherwise you keep waking up, and you know, you can die from it. There's been famous athletes die of sleep apnea. So
you can die without it, and yours just broke?
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the night.
Hey, come on. Man. Oh, come on. Yeah. Well,
that's not fun. Now, this is not fun. It's loud enough, though. That Scrappy, who snores, it drowns out.
Maybe he needs one.
It drowns out his snoring.
Okay.
But now my CPAP machine fried last night, so I got nothing. Yeah. And now Scrappy's snores are keeping me up. And I was up until 1:51 a.m. after going to bed at about 10 o'clock last night. And I finally had enough. I could not fall asleep. And I picked him up, and he was barking at me because he knew what I was going to do. And I put him in the bathroom and shut the door.
Right.
I quarantined him. Yeah. He wasn't happy.
Cornhole. Oh, quarantine.
Quarantined him. Quarantine. Long story short.
Still on nitrous.
Today, two men in the truck come and move me, and they accidentally left my gate open after they brought my grill out from around my backyard.
How many guys were there?
Three.
Hey, wait a minute. It says two men.
I know. This was three.
It's false advertising.
Well, it is false advertising.
Well, maybe one guy rode it separately.
No, they all rode together.
What in the hell?
I know.
So that's so... I go take them over to the storage facility to drop all my stuff off, and I tipped them all. I get back home, dog's gone.
Oh,
they didn't steal your.
They
dog.
Left the gate open. They propped the gate open with a rock after I specifically told them not to.
Dog,
and one dog who could have jailbreak didn't because he knows that I get mad.
Yeah,
but Scrappy just said, "I'll teach you for quarantining me." And a neighbor about 11 houses away at the end of the.
I think you're gonna say 11 miles away.
No, it's but it's traumatizing when that happens. It's like losing your wallet. Losing your wallet and losing your dog. They send your heart rate, your anxiety to the highest level that it can get to.
I've been through it when I was a kid, when I was an adult, when my kids had a... It's lost. It gets away from you or runs out the door and it's just almost as scary as somebody losing a kid in the mall.
Well, that's the thing. That's the morbid thought that entered my head is all these stories of these missing kids and their parents never know what happened to them.
Right.
I go through it for 3 hours and I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack or anxiety attack and just cough it right there. I don't, these people that lose kids, whew, man, I tell you. And you can't help but think of that because you all of a sudden feel like you've lost something that was there.
I lost one of mine in the movie theater. One time.
A dog?
No.
One girlfriend?
Of my kids.
I think he's talking about one of
his kids. Oh, I did a dog in the theater.
When the boys were little, we went to see a movie, and we were all sitting there, and then we decided to go out to get some stuff at the snack bar. And while we're there, my middle son, Joshua, just kind of wandered off a little bit.
How old was he?
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably... 7, maybe 8, something like that.
Remember the movie?
No, I don't remember the movie. But I turned around and I'm like, where's Joshua? And I'm like, where? And then it's like panic sets in.
Right.
And I am like, panic. I go to the front door. I told Corey, I said, go to the front door and you stand there. Don't move. If you see Joshua, do not let him. And I thought somebody
abducted him.
Yeah. And so we ended up walking back into the theater to see if he maybe went back, and he was in the theater seats. He remembered the theater that we were in and went in there and was sitting there crying because we got
he's scared,
got
you're
lost.
Scared.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared.
It's like, oh, man, but the panic, just like Tim said, it's just like insane.
My family took a vacation down to Naples, Florida. We all rented a beach house, and I had a niece who was about 2 or 3 at the time, and... She decided to play a joke on the entire family and go hide and not let anybody know where she was.
And
there was
not cool.
And her, my brother and his wife and the whole family frantically searching for this girl, calling her name and calling her name and calling. She's hearing every word of it and not saying. She was hiding behind some curtains and her feet were obstructed by a rug.
Oh,
you know, and, wow. And she had.
They want to hug her and beat her. I'm serious.
Can you hug with one hand and beat with the other?
You're so relieved and thrilled and you're so mad at the same time.
That she did that. I know.
So I'm sorry, this started with your dog.
Yeah,
story.
No, it's just that.
But you got him back.
I did get him back, and you know.
But it's 3 hours of panic.
Well, it is, and transporting them now to a home, to a new home, a temporary home I'm staying in, is
traumatic for them.
It's
and
not
you.
Traumatic for them, me, but for them, you know. But I wonder how traumatic. I'm going to ask Doc about this. How traumatic is it really for a dog? I mean, as long as.
I don't think it is. I think in 2 days they'll figure it all out.
That's kind of what I'm
hoping. They'll know where they
are.
That's
what I'm thinking.
They'll find their way around.
That's what I'm thinking.
You haven't worked with me long enough to know this story, but I have one of the most horrible dog stories ever, and you are a dog lover. And if this had happened to you, my daughter had a dog. I caught my daughter's dog because she and the dog really bonded, and the dog slept in her bedroom. It was a collie mix, like 70, 80 pounds, and was murdered by one of our neighbors. And he murdered every dog on our street. And I mean,
the
murdered
same day?
Them. No. Just sort of strategically, he'd find, the right time, the right way, and he killed everybody's dog on our street.
With what method?
Wow.
He shot him.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Now this is one of the worst. My daughter was 11 years old. I'll give you a short version of it. One of our neighbors down there, I live on a street that's 2 miles long, and nobody's close to each other. Everybody's on 3 to 5 acres, but not too far down the street, there's another house. And it started with a guy, a neighbor, who said to me one day, I ran into him outside, and he goes, you know, I don't know what happened to whatever the dog's name was. He said, I think there may be some kind of dog napper. These people that stop and snatch a dog, put it in the van, and take off. He said, I have to assume somebody stole him because he just vanished, and it was his hunting dog. And then a couple of months later, another neighbor on the other side of the street was talking about how their dog ran away, and it never ran away. And I'm thinking, well, that's weird. And then it was like Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, exactly how many years ago? 19 years ago. And, we would let our dog out because we're out in the country and and the dog would do its thing, sniff around the yard, come back in. And one day she didn't come back in the house and she didn't come to the door, and a couple hours went by. And, so I went, Aspen was the dog's name. So I went out and I'm calling, Aspen, you know the feeling. You know, mm-hmm. You walk up and down the road.
Oh yeah.
And my neighbor, if you could call it neighbor, diagonally across the street, is out calling, Casey! And we realized we're each calling for each other. I said, what happened to Casey? He said, I don't know. What happened to Aspen? I said, I don't know.
Right.
So he starts walking. I start walking different directions. There's some snow on the ground. And I had to go to a little hardware store in Grover, sort of. Well, some people know where that is. It's next to Wildwood. And my older son called me, and he was in tears, and he said, Dad, we found Aspen. And I said, oh, thank goodness. He goes, no, she's dead.
Wow.
I said, who found her? He said, Alan, our neighbor. He was out looking for Casey, and he walked through a field, and he came to the edge of like a cliff in a ravine, and at the bottom of the ravine, there was a plastic trash bag with a dog leg sticking out of it. And a box, a relatively new box that had stereo equipment in it. And you knew the other dog was in that box.
Right.
So Alan calls the police. They came out. They start doing their thing. And if I tell the whole story, it'd take forever. But I knew immediately who did it and who I'd always suspected had killed the other dogs. And this is one of the things that I'm real proud of in my life, is that I had the sense to think of something to do, and I am going to take credit because I thought of it. When the police were there, it was the county police, I said to this officer, I said, please don't let anybody touch that cardboard box without gloves. And he said, why? And I said, well, look at it. It's a brand new box. And look at the name on the box. And the name of the box was Klipsch. You know what that is? Mm-hmm. Klipsch. It's a real high-end stereo equipment.
Right on.
I said, that's a new box. Whoever killed the dog and put it in that box just recently bought that subwoofer. and there are only two places that sell it. I said, so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. You will find a thumbprint on the tape on that box. He had to push the tape down.
Right.
And when you do, here's the name. It's going to match. So they didn't touch the box without gloves. They did open it, and sure enough, it's Casey. The other dog was dead. And they, crystal clear, they lifted a print right off of that tape. And it was the guy we thought it was. Now,
his fingerprint on file?
No. No, they didn't. But they went to question him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they realized he didn't have it, they took him down and printed him, and perfect match.
Wow.
Now, what's funny is they went to his house and asked him, have you recently bought any stereo equipment? And he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer pulled out a receipt and said, then this is not you, and this is not your sub. I mean, they had him. They had him. And I'll tell you what he did. It's disgusting, because I had plenty of money then. I'll just say that. And here's what I told the police. I said, treat this as a homicide. I said, I want autopsies on both of these dogs. I want photographs. We're going to treat this like it's a person, because this has devastated my daughter.
Right.
She is a wreck. So they did. And when I went to the lady, it was a female vet who did these autopsies. She said to me, when she completed the autopsy, she said, did you ever use hemp rope, you know, that rough rope that on your dog for any reason? I said, never. And she said, well, from what I can tell, whoever killed your dog held it down by putting that rope on the lower jaw and shot it right in the ear. That's how your dog was killed. The other dog was a yellow lab. Yellow labs come to anybody.
Right, yeah.
Come right to you.
They're friendly.
He just called the dog by name because he knew everybody's dog. And when it walked up to him, she said he just shot it right between the eyes. That's how you kill that one.
Oh.
That guy's just cold-blooded. So what's interesting is I learned a lot about the law and animals. And at the time, and I'm sure it's no different now, you don't go to jail if you kill somebody's dog. It's a misdemeanor.
Right.
If you torture a dog, it's a felony. My question was, why wouldn't it be considered torture if you hold a dog down by the jaw with a rope and shoot it in the head? Who's to say that's not torture? It's just not classified. Torture is hanging it up and skin it alive, pour boiling water, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's pretty much the story, but I got a visit from a police officer. He was a homicide detective. And he came to the house, introduced himself, and he said, let me start by saying this. He said, I am a huge dog lover. He had like four dogs. He said, this is making me so sick. He said, I'm going to take this guy down myself and question him my way. So he did. He took him in to the police station. And he came back to my house the next day, and he said, here's what you need to know. This guy is very dangerous, because we've always heard these murderers and Jeff Dahmer, they start with animals.
Right.
Yeah, they kill animals. He said, so just so you know, be very careful, because he doesn't live right across the driveway and down a few feet. And he said, so just be careful, because he's dangerous. And I said, well, we already knew that. And my boys and I actually did drills with guns in the house. Is if he came to the house, you know, what to do and how we're going to let him come in and kill him or whatever. And
Castle it was doctrine. For
2 years after our dog was shot, for 2 years, I had to go up and with my daughter every night, lie in bed with her until she fell asleep. She could not sleep or go to sleep by herself, because here's what she'd ask me every night. Is he coming to kill us too?
Wow.
And I said, no, he's not. And then I tell her a story, and she goes to sleep. 2 years. And
what happened to that guy? Is he still there?
Well, no, he's not there. He moved. It took him a long time, but he moved because he got death threats. He got arrest. He got signs put up along the street. Dog killer with an arrow pointing to his house. You know, oh no, people were fired up over this guy. So he's gone now. I won't get into what his sentencing was or what he had to do, but, it's a horrible, horrible story. And I know that there are people who go, well, you know, it's just a dog. It's not a human. But they don't understand something. When people say, well, you know, I like dogs more than I like most people. I trust. There's something to that, because if you've ever had a dog and it became part of your family, and Tim knows this, it's like a person. It just is. And the idea of somebody murdering it or torturing it or something. Dan, do you remember the story you were telling me yesterday? The horrible story about the cat?
Yeah.
And this guy did it in front of people.
Yes.
Go ahead, just tell him. Tell him what this lunatic did.
There's a guy that, and he's an older guy too, so age doesn't matter, but he apparently is one of those people that doesn't like cats, and he grabbed this cat, and it was a kitten for the most part, grabbed it and just broke its leg.
Snapped its leg, broke like a twig.
And threw it down on the ground.
And let it just hobble and be crippled.
Yeah.
That guy should be put away.
Yeah.
Because that, if he does that, he's going to do something worse, I think. So, yeah, I turned your incident about missing your dog for 3 hours into a much longer story, but I get that panic. We had a little dog, a little Shih Tzu. I couldn't stand this little dog, and it was it's the dumbest dog we've ever had. It didn't do one single trick. Have you ever known a dog that couldn't, shake? Sit, speak, nothing. It wouldn't even come to you. Nothing. It's like more like a cat. It's the dumbest dog ever. But what are you going to do? Again, it was my daughter's dog and one of the replacements for the one that got killed. So when we would go to the lake on the weekend, we'd put that dumb dog in the car and drive to the lake. We get to the lake, which is 160 miles away. I go to get out of the car and I'm calling the dog, which never comes anyway, but I can't find it. And I thought my wife put the dog in the car. She thought I put it in the car. So we drove away the dog. We didn't know it was in the driveway. we're 3 hours away.
The dog was sitting in the driveway?
Yeah. We each thought the other one put it in the car. Oh. Now we get to the lake and we realize, I'm thinking, woohoo, this dumb dog will walk away and never find its way home.
Be gone.
And these are all serious and sensitive subjects for the most part, but I want to say that of all the funny and ridiculous things you've done on Facebook that I've ever seen, I think the funniest one you've ever done, and I don't know if there's a way to earmark it or to look for it, but the funniest one Frank ever did was when he set up all these frames of photos of dogs, which came with the frame when you bought the frame at whatever store.
My wife had bought frames for pictures of our kids, and frames, they come with these stock pictures.
Right.
And it was dogs, just random dogs. Go ahead.
And Frank tells the most ridiculous stories of these family dogs and how they died and what happened to them. One of them I just remember was twin dogs, and the one dog ran out in the road and got ran over by a car, and the other twin dog said, well, if he's going to go that way, I'm going to go that way. So he went out in the road and got ran over by a car. And it's just total improv. I mean, it's hysterical from the get-go. I don't know where on your page that's archived.
I don't know either, but here's what's interesting. When I went on there and did that, and I showed each dog's picture and kind of choked up when I talked about it, you can't believe the people who emailed me and said, I cannot imagine having to go through that many times. They believed it. They believed those are my dogs.
It was
believable. Do you know that those frames, that was 5 years ago at least, those frames are still sitting in our house with those dogs' pictures still in the frame. Women buy things and don't use them. They'll buy shoes they don't wear. They do. They'll buy a picture. Oh, what a neat picture frame. And never put a picture in it. They do that. It was on sale. So they buy it and they never use it. We still have the frames and those stock dogs are still in there.
You can see if you can sell those frames to a vet. Maybe Dr. Doug would like to buy them. To a vet's office or something like that. They could just have pictures of the dogs.
You see those pictures of dogs playing poker and stuff?
Yeah. Oh,
I love those. I love those pictures. There's a name for that collection. I don't know what it is. Anybody else a Burke segment?
Dogs playing poker.
No. Yeah. Oh, I think it is called Dogs Playing Poker. Anything else? Burke's? No?
Nothing,
no Theo update? No?
No. He's doing well. He's like walking about 8 steps now. It's going to be his birthday. I cannot believe it. In 6 weeks, he's going to be a year old.
Whoa.
I know. He was just being born.
Here's the deal with year-old birthday parties. And I made this personal rule of mine when my good buddy of David Oliver, who just did a podcast with Frank, his youngest daughter turned 1, and the first question out of my mouth was, I was invited to the party. I was sent the Evite, right? I call him up and I say, David, let me ask you a question. Grace is his daughter's name. I said, Are you going to let this young girl put her fingers in the birthday cake and rub it all over her face and hair?
Thank you.
And he said, oh, well, yeah, my wife and I discussed it, and while we think some of our parents and uncles might be a little, you know, about it, we decided that we want that entertainment. I said, good. I said, because now I'm going to come. Because if your answer was no, I wouldn't come. I'll come just to see that.
I don't know when that started, but Dan, you know that's a thing.
Babies.
Well, 1 year, 2 year, three years old, up to like four, they just let them dig their hands into the icing and just mash it all over their faces.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
No, we do.
I watched my grandson do it, and
hilarious.
I just thought, what the heck?
It's
hilarious.
We're doing that with Theo.
Yeah,
that's happening on
his
birthday.
You need to videotape that.
Just putting him in a high chair, giving him a big, messy cake, and like, go to town.
No, he's right. Put that on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
You have to put that on.
I did that with Alyssa when she was
23.
When she turned one, yeah. Coming up in December, we're going to do it.
Now, that would be fun. Anything else? No? That's it? Burke segment?
No.
Once, twice.
I'm trying to figure out when is a good time to use this.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Right. Tim has been asking for that sound effect.
You could cut Dad off.
Finally got it.
If you cut the Dad off, it'd be appropriate for almost anything.
Why don't you just shut your big... Okay.
Just take the Dad off and it's appropriate for any of us.
All right, hang on a second. I can work on that now. All right, that's all I had.
All right. Burke segment is officially... closed. We welcome your calls either right now about anything or when Dr. Doug gets in here. If you have a pet question about your pet or pet you're thinking about getting, the numbers I'm about to give you are good for any reason you want to call, any topic, anything or nothing. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let me do a quick little bit of business. We'll take a couple of phone calls. That would be the business of Complete Auto Body. Let me explain to some of you who may not know how this show works. The radio station pays nothing for this show. It's a free show for them. The only way this show stays on the air, and Dan gets paid, Lima gets paid, Tim gets paid, and I get paid, is when you give your business to the advertisers you hear me talking about. And it has worked well for 30 years. Now more than ever, we need for it to keep working. So when I say to you that Complete Auto Body does collision repair, I'm well aware of the fact that most of you right now do not have a car that needs body work. But you probably will. So when you do, I want you to not even have to think about it. You tell the insurance company, Complete Auto Body. Here's the other thing. I don't know who does your service work. I do know that convenience is kind of important when you have your car serviced because it is something you do more regularly, hopefully, than every 7 years. Oil change, brakes, tires, that kind of thing. Unless you're just thrilled to death and ecstatic with whoever does that for your car and for you, you might want to consider letting Complete Auto Body do all your service work because they do that all the time. They service an average of 500 cars every week. A lot of cars, but they can handle it. They'll do one person's car, the service work on it. It could be a brand new car. It could be 20 years old. Or they will do hundreds of cars for you. You say, who owns hundreds of cars? Well, there are businesses that have fleets of vehicles. And sometimes it's hundreds. And I say that because one of Complete Auto Body's big fleet customers has 1,100 vehicles. And Complete Auto Body services them all and keeps them running because they have to be running for that business and they don't like downtime. And they do it and they do it right. So keep all that in mind. One last thing. It's not very often that somebody needs to have a vehicle towed. Now, I'm guessing if AAA does, they have their own tow trucks, right?
I think so, yeah.
With that being the exception, if you find yourself needing a vehicle towed, Complete Auto Body owns their own towing company. It's a good one. A to B towing. So there you go. That's why the name Complete is so perfect. Car serviced, collision repair, towing, anything, and all of that. They're in Hazelwood, Delwood, and St. Peter's. 314-731-7999. And I know you know, to tell them that you're AM and the PM. Check out their website. It's an easy one, complete AB.com. Let's talk to Pat. Pat.
Well, before you talk to Pat, I've had a couple of calls here during this little break here, and they said they want you to finish the story about the dog left in the driveway.
We called from the lake. We called our neighbor, and she went out and walked down the street, and this dumb dog couldn't find our house after it walked out of the driveway. That's how dumb the dog was. So it's waiting for us at somebody else's house at the front door, and she just kept walking. Our road is 2 miles long, and she just walked, and at every house, she went down the driveway, and there it sat, like a quarter of a mile down the road at somebody else's house, waiting to be let in. That's how dumb the dog was. So she called and says, I found her. I'll keep her till you get back and feed her and whatever, and that was it. But
maybe the dog
I hate to say this, but I'm not kidding. I couldn't stand that dog. I don't hate any animals, really, but I was hoping we were rid of that dog.
Oh.
Because the dog was just nothing but something to be responsible for. No fun, no interaction, couldn't play with it, nothing. And I don't know if dogs can be mentally challenged.
The dog never looked like it was happy or excited?
No, it had no expression of happiness, nothing. Most dogs, you walk in, most dogs, tail wagging. Not this dog. He just looked at you. I'm telling you, I know you're not supposed to use the word retarded, but maybe with animals it's okay. There's an animal, this dog was retarded, mentally retarded. And that's a reference to an animal, so don't get bent out of shape.
Like what, his tail wag when you hover a piece of bacon over his nose?
No.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You got a brain-dead dog.
I know. It was horrible.
God.
So, thankfully, it finally died, of old age. I kept waiting. How much longer are you going to live? But I love dogs. Don't get me wrong. You have to hear the other stories about dogs. And we had a dog killed by another dog. Our dog, Pepsi, like Pepsi Cola.
Right.
Went out one day, Pepsi, didn't come home. I start walking. We lived out in the country and Waterloo out in the country. I go walking down the railroad tracks. I find the remains of my dog, and I look up, and the German Shepherd is licking his chops that just killed it.
Boy.
Yeah. That dog's name was Scar. I knew who owned that dog. It just killed and was eating our dog.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Dan Buff and I were looking at a story that I had read about a North Carolina state park. I wanted to tell this to Bill Cleveland. And park rangers shot and killed a bear that they encountered as it was halfway through dining on the remains of a human being. And Buff and I, as his segment was beginning today, he was watching the trailer for a movie that it's about that very thing, about a guy and his gal walking through the woods, and the guy realizes they're being stalked by a bear because he can see the broken branches and the dung. He knows that there's bears in the area. And there's a scene in this movie where the bear attacks their tent, and it's pretty graphic.
But it's not real footage. No, it's a movie.
No, it's
Do you want to? There's a video going viral right now where this guy, I don't know where it is, somewhere up north, he falls asleep next to his swimming pool in his backyard.
Oh!
And a bear comes up and kind of just like nudges his foot, and as he wakes up, it runs off.
I heard about this yesterday.
You imagine that?
Black bear?
Yeah, I think it was.
And the guy wakes up. He's like Tony Soprano. He's like living in this big, huge backyard, laying out by his pool, sleeping.
And it's a perfect day.
Yeah,
everything's
a beautiful
perfect
day. And the bear walks up and kind of nudges him. Kind of like, hey,
wake up.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Hey, you want to have a beer?
Hey, wake up. I want you to see that you got a bear in your yard.
And this bear is twice the size of this guy, and the guy jumps up, and the bear gets scared and runs.
Yeah, I know.
Think about that.
That's a good thing.
You're taking a nap outside on a nice day. It's like nice breeze, 72 degrees. You're in a deep sleep, and then all of a sudden you wake up, and something's nudging you, and it's a bear. I mean, you'd have a heart attack. You could have a heart attack.
I came for your picnic basket.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. I thought you were taking a call.
Oh, I am. Pat. Pat's tired of waiting. I'm sure I don't blame him or her. Pat, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm AM and the PM.
Well, hallelujah. If everybody could be AM and the PM, the world would be a better place. What can we do for you?
Hey, it was a few years ago, and I think you were in the other station, and you told a story or a joke about you got pulled over by a state trooper, and you could tell when you got out that the state trooper was kind of in a bad mood, and you told the trooper that if I can make you laugh.
It was an Arkansas state trooper. I know exactly what you're talking about. It was coming back from Memphis, Tennessee. It's actually not a joke. It's a true story. Yeah, I'll tell it for you.
Okay.
You hang up, I'll tell it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'll make it short.
Right.
10th anniversary of Elvis Presley's death. We had a van, an engineer, me, another guy on the show. We're going to do the show, as lots of stations did, from Graceland on the 10th anniversary.
Right.
It's August. Elvis died August 16th, 1977. August in Memphis or even St. Louis, miserably hot. So we couldn't wait to get out of there. And coming back to St. Louis from Memphis, I was driving and I was speeding. And in Arkansas, the little bit of Arkansas you go through, whoop, whoop, there he is. The mirrored glasses and the whole deal. And this guy was right out of a movie. Well, it looks like somebody's in a pretty big hurry. And I said, yes, sir, we are. We want to get back to St. Louis. Well, what is it in St. Louis that's so important that you got to drive like that in such a big hurry? I said, well, we're tired, and where you come from? I said, well, we just left Elvis's house. And I think he thought I was trying to be funny. He said, you mean Elvis Presley? I said, yeah. You at his house? I said, yes, sir, we were. And then I explained, you know, why we were there. No sense of humor. And I was clipping pretty good. And he said, well, why don't you just sit right there for me? And I know he's going to go back. He's writing a ticket. I know it. And the other two guys in the van, I said, all right, look, I'm going to do something you're never supposed to do. Just sit here and just sit tight and watch. I get out of that, walk back toward the patrol car. He sticks his head out of the driver's window and says, whoa, whoa, right there. Stop right there. Stop right there. And I put my hands up. I said, officer, I know I'm not supposed to get out of the car, and I'm certainly not supposed to approach your car. But as you can see, nothing on me. I said, I have something very important that I want to run by you. And he just said, what? And I said, I'm serious, please. I said, it's hot. If I could just get in the patrol car, I think you're going to want to hear what I have to say. Well, at least he's curious.
Right.
All right, come on. And I get in the car. He closed the door. Air conditioning's going. Feels much better. And he looks over at me with those glasses. He goes, what's this about? And I said, well, just hear me out. I said, I'm guessing you're a pretty effective highway patrolman. He says, what the hell's that mean? I said, it means I think you probably take your job very seriously. You seem like a really serious person.
Right.
And I'll bet you don't often get to laugh. I mean, just like laugh out loud to where you're just uncontrollable, side-splitting, stomachache laughing. And he just looks at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, I want to try to do you a favor, hoping you'll do me a favor. And he said, he still doesn't know. I said, part of my job is to tell jokes. I'm a pretty good joke teller. I think you need a laugh. It's 100 degrees out here. You got a job most people wouldn't want. I'm not surprised you don't get the laugh. Wouldn't it feel good to just, I mean, cut loose and really laugh out loud? I can make you do that, but here, if I make you laugh out loud, would you please not give me a ticket? Would you let me go? And he sat back. He just sat back. I'll never forget it. And cocked his head back, and he said, well, he said, I'll tell you something. I've never in my life heard anything like this. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. So I'm thinking, what joke can I? And I came up with a joke that at the time was like one of my favorite jokes. So I tell the guy the joke, and when I got to the punchline, whoa! This guy, he laughed. He took his hat off. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. Get the hell out of my car and slow down. He said,
can you tell the joke over the air?
Oh, I've told the joke every year. I tell the joke. But and I'm not going to tell it now, but I tell it every year. It's one of the regular jokes I tell.
What's the punchline?
The punchline is, I got to tell the joke.
Well, you tease everybody. What about all the people who never listen to you?
Okay, here's the joke I tell.
Thank you.
Guy lives in New York City. He's fed up with New York City. Noise, traffic, rude people. He cashes everything he's got out. Liquidates everything and moves to Montana in the middle of nowhere, a little ranch house. The nearest person is 200 miles away. He goes to the general store and buys 2 years worth of supplies. That's how much he doesn't want to see people anymore. He intends to go to his house in Montana and not see another person for 2 years. So he buys all the staples. He buys, he doesn't need anything or anybody. And after about 6 months, he realized, sitting on the front porch, looking out at just land, nothing, thinking, you know, it might not be a bad to just talk to somebody or see somebody. 8 months go by. 9 months go by. After almost a year, he's sitting on the front porch by himself, and he looks up, and there's a little cloud of dust in the distance, way in the distance, like almost a little dust storm. And as it gets bigger and bigger, he realizes it's a Jeep with a guy in it. And the guy pulls right up to the front porch of this guy. He jumps out and he goes, "Howdy, neighbor." And this guy says, "Neighbor." He goes, "Well," he says, "I'm the closest thing you got to a neighbor." He says, "I live about 60 miles. If you just walked right out your front door here and just went straight, you'd run into my place about 60 miles away." He said, "Well, I didn't think there was anybody around here for a couple hundred miles." He said, "There's not except me." He says, "And I heard that you moved in here, and I heard you've been here for a long time, and I'm thinking maybe you're ready to go to a party." He said, "Saturday night, I'm throwing a party. You think you'd be interested?" Now, this guy, by now, he's been alone. He goes, "Yeah, that sounds good." He says, "Tell me more." And the guy goes, "Well, first of all, you like to drink? Because there's going to be drinking." He goes, "Yeah, I hold my own. I like to drink." He says, "You like music? You like country music?" He says, "As a matter of fact, I do. I've gotten very familiar with it out here listening to satellite radio." "Yeah, I like country music." He goes, "What about dancing? You got any problem with dancing, music going, people dancing?" He says, "No, I don't." He said, "And sex?" He's, "Because I'm telling you, it's going to be a wild party." The guy goes, "I'm in." "When again?" He said, "Saturday night, 7 o'clock, my place. I'll see you there." And the guy goes, "Well, how should I dress?" And he's, "Oh, it doesn't matter. Just be the two of us." This cop, oh, man, he thought that. And he didn't give me a ticket. He said, "Get the hell out of my car and slow down." It's the last thing he said to me.
Oh, my God.
And I got in that van and took off. Yeah. And the two guys with me said, "What just happened?" I said, "You wouldn't believe it. I'll tell you on the road." And we got back on the road, and I told them what had happened. I don't recommend that. Don't ever get out of your car, ever, and walk toward the patrol car.
Especially now.
Don't do that.
Yeah, this was a long time ago. Don't. Back then, you weren't supposed to do it, so don't do that. I have one more bit of business to do, and then we'll have news. Tim will have the news, and we'll check in with John Londoff, and Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us. And I'm talked out from, you know, my jaw, and the Novocaine is worn off, but I'll take a talking break. If you would, please call Dr. Doug, and you and Dr. Doug can chat it up, and I'll take a jaw break from where they drill down. Painlessly, I might add.
Right.
No, it was incredible. Considering what they did, I didn't feel anything. And right now, it's, the feeling is back, and they said, "You might be really sore." I am not sore. It's incredible. So, but I will take a talking break if you would call Dr. Doug, please. You have the phone numbers. We'll give them to you again later. First Community Credit Union is a, I've told you that I'm not good with timelines. Like if somebody said, "Well, how long ago was this?" or "How long has somebody been part of the show?" I know now that First Community Credit Union has been with this show for 15 years. My guess would have been 12. But I'm thrilled that for 15 years, First Community Credit Union has been a part of this show, and for many of those years has taken the exclusive sponsorship of the yard sale where Jack Bullard, was that his name? Works. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The young guy that you met in here a couple of days ago, you'll hear him Saturday morning on the yard sale. And again, the one sponsor, and only one, so not a lot of commercials at all, First Community Credit Union. I'd appreciate it if you would consider, you know, unless you have some great loyalty to wherever you're banking, come join us. Be a member of First Community Credit Union. Very quickly, there is a loan rate that I think smart people will want to take advantage of. It's a 2.75% APR for the first 12 months of the loan. That is ridiculously low. And after the first 12 months, it goes to 3.99. And you could take that money, use the equity in your house to fix up your house, to add a Four Seasons room, or pay off somebody's tuition in your house, or whatever. Do whatever you want with it. But that's a great rate. All the terms and conditions are on their website at First Community Credit Union. It is a great place to bank if you want to find out more about this incredible loan and that first 12-month rate. Go to firstcommunity.com. Thank you for being with us. More to come. Dr. Doug on the way. News now, 4 o'clock, 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned.